Welcome once again to At Home in Your Hymnal. Pastor Poppy, Pastor Morleen, we serve at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. The purpose of this program is to help you be at home in your hymnal, in the divine service in church or one of the prayer offices as well, or using your hymnal for personal or family devotions at home, to be at home in your hymnal with the rhythm and flow of worship. God speaks. We hear, we listen, we believe, we respond. Our episodes recently have been working our way through Divine Service Setting 1 in Lutheran Service Book. That's page 151 and following. And we are all the way to the readings of the church. And if you have your hymnals in front of you, that's page 156 and 157, where we have the outline of where the readings fit into the divine service, the high point or the culmination of the service of the word. And we have an earlier program, Pastor Murundi, when he was here, and I did a program, maybe 10 episodes ago or so. I'll have to check out and find out exactly which one that is, where we talked about the difference between the one-year series and the three-year series of readings, the pros and the cons of each one. And here at Good Shepherd, we use the one-year series of readings, hence the program that we also put out, our sister program, Proclaiming the One, where we look at those readings each week. But there are two options, two variables in that, and I really don't want to spend a whole lot of time on that. Pastor Murundi had a great insight, because before he came to Good Shepherd, he spent many years in the three-year series. I grew up with the one-year series. Then with my early years as lay minister and pastor, three-year series, and then came back to the one-year series at Good Shepherd. Pastor Moline, just for fun, what did you use in your many years up in North Dakota?
Well, for the first 6 years, we used the three-year lectionary, and then in 2017, we switched to the one-year lectionary as a part of looking back at the 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation. It gave us opportunity to go back to Luther's sermons, because he preached on the one-year lectionary, and so kind of brought some of those into our preaching and teaching for the year, and then stayed in the one-year lectionary, and now even here in the one-year lectionary.
Okay. There's about 90% of the time when I'm really, really happy that we use the one-year series, one-year readings here at Good Shepherd. But every once in a while, you know, I kind of long for the more variety, the more Bible, the more options, the more opportunities. And I keep coming back to I would rather have our people be firmly grounded. Repetition is the mother of all learning. Firmly grounded in certain key parts of Scripture than have them a mile wide and an inch deep. And I know you can have a lively competition and a lively discussion on this. There is no right or wrong, but this is a topic that is pretty much always before us. Yep. In the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Yep. And the whole point that we want to talk about here is the importance of the Word, the importance of God's Word as a central figure of how God speaks to us. Now, the liturgy, each of these liturgical parts that are going back and forth, these are all either God's Word or based on God's Word. But here we have the actual Word of God being read in the worship services. And there's a pattern, there's a rhythm and flow here, too.
And even I have a friend in North Dakota who puts it this way.
Just one? You have just one friend in North Dakota?
Well, just one period, right? one of my friends who lives in North Dakota says the difference between the three-year and the one-year is this. The three-year focuses on trying to get as much of the four different Gospels read as possible so that there's a lot of hearing variety. The one-year lectionary picks the 52 most important parts of the Gospels and focuses specifically on those each year. And so that's kind of the variety that you have. Do we want to get a lot of variety, but not as much specific, or do we want to focus on the 52 most specific things? And you're free to do either one, but, you know, one's obviously better than the other, but we won't get into that.
the comment that Pastor Russert has made many times, and he's had, you know, had lots of experience in both the 3-year and the 1-year, is from here his experience and working now back with the 1-year series again here at Good Shepherd, is that there is an intentional focus on the person and work of Christ each week in the 1-year series. And sometimes, because of the variety and trying to get more Bible passages before the people, sometimes the 3-year series doesn't do quite as good a job as the 1-year series. And I think that's pretty good observation. If you know Pastor Russert, he is he's a man of few words, but when he speaks, he usually speaks great wisdom. And so thanks be to God for that. I have I've been working my way through this study that Pastor John A. Fromm has put together, The Divine Service, Its History and Theology. At some point in time, we're going to be using this as a Sunday morning Bible study here at Good Shepherd. That might be a year or two down the line, though. But he has this to say with regard to a general statement of the readings from Holy Scripture and lectionaries. And Pastor, I want your reflection and reaction to this. The readings from Holy Scripture follow one of two lectionaries in our church, the 1-year historic lectionary or the 3-year lectionary. Each lectionary has its own benefits and weaknesses. The 1-year lectionary has the longest lineage and has many theological and liturgical resources from earlier church fathers and musicians, and it has the catechetical value of repeating the same readings year after year. It is the lectionary referenced in our Lutheran confessions. The 3-year lectionary is much more recent in its development, but offers the opportunity for more variety of Scripture over the course of its 3-year rotation. One may find both of these lectionaries in use in the LCMS. Regardless of which lectionary is used, the discipline of submitting to a lectionary helps the pastor and the church to teach the whole counsel of God over the course of the year, gives variety and depth to the observance of the church year calendar, and protects the congregation from the pastor merely preaching on favorite topics or themes. The pastor does have the opportunity to choose which of the readings he might preach on. Though the gospel is normally expected as the favored reading, it is the tradition. When there are midweek Advent or Lenten services, there is no designed lectionary system to those services, so these take special planning, with the exception of Ash Wednesday. There are also readings provided for special major and minor festivals and other holy days and commemorations in the church year. These are usually provided in the hymnal or other companion volumes to the hymnal, such as the altar book, lectionary books. Depending on which lectionary is followed, certain customs and variations of the church year may be expressed differently. For example, the Sundays after the Trinity versus the Sundays after Pentecost, a pre-Lenten season in addition to Epiphany, etc. Okay, this is kind of the general overarching thing. What I want to focus on here, Pastor, and you know, you're free to comment on anything that he said, but what I want to focus on is Pastor Fromm's comment here with regard to the discipline for the pastor with regard to committing himself to a lectionary system of readings and how this is a protection for the pastor and a protection against the pastor all at the same time. Your thoughts on that? That's he's very blunt,
yeah,
with regard to the importance of using a lectionary system, quite frankly, any lectionary system.
And he's right. It forces the pastor to not preach about what he wants to hear or say or what the people want to hear, but rather to preach on things that are difficult. There's texts that come up every year, and the pastor says, why am I preaching on this? It's really difficult to figure out how to bring across this particular scripture lesson to the hearers. But there's a reason that it's in the Bible, and so there's a reason that we ought to preach on it. Contrast that with those who pick their readings each week. Oftentimes what you end up with are 10 weeks in a row where you hear about a random topic, say leadership, and the pastor preaches about leadership for 10 weeks, and then the next 10 weeks, maybe he preaches about discipleship. And so now you've taken half the year to preach about these two topics, and you haven't focused on baptism, the end times, sin, repentance, the Lord's Supper, the way that God provides. You haven't talked about the theology of the Trinity. You haven't talked about the theology of how the Holy Spirit works, or the church and how it exists or is called into existence. You haven't talked about angels. You haven't talked about 1,000 different doctrines that you're forced to talk about when you use a lectionary system. And so as a person sitting in the pew, when your pastor's using the lectionary, you can be sure that he's being forced to talk about the entire counsel of what God is saying in his word, and the entire counsel of how the church, through the lectionary in the past and in the history of the church, has forced pastors to talk about all the theology and not just choose a few things. And when a pastor chooses what he's going to preach on as well, he's going to choose things that he thinks his people want to hear. And he might not tell people things they don't want to hear. For example, he might not tell them that they're sinful people. He might not tell them about controversial issues, for example, closed communion or abortion, things like that. He'll tell them what they want to hear, and that's not always beneficial for the person sitting in the pew, just like it's not always beneficial for your child to give them what they want. Sometimes you don't give them what they want. Sometimes you make them do things they don't want to, and that's for the benefit of the child. And the same thing is happening with the way the readings are brought into the church service.
I get a kick out of pastors that have their particular hobby horse, and in the Missouri Synod, sometimes that hobby horse is like mission and outreach. And so every sermon is about mission and outreach, and it may or may not connect us to the cross and empty tomb. Usually it's a guilt trip kind of a thing. You better go out and tell your neighbor about Jesus. And it's very disappointing when we fall into that trap. I know of other pastors that their church, they spend a lot of time trying to be clever. And they've got to look up some theme like, okay, now it's summertime in Nebraska. So let's road signs. We'll have a theme called under construction. And what are all the different road signs that are out there? Stop, yield, no passing, one way. And then they'll come up with a sermon, catchy sermon title and a Bible verse that might match it or might not. And in so trying to be so clever, sometimes we lose preaching the whole counsel of God. Now, Pastor, when we come back from our break, I want to ask you is, you did not grow up Lutheran, and you grew up in a church that did not use the liturgy like we're talking about. They use some kind of a liturgical order, but what was your experience growing up in a non-Lutheran, non-liturgical church with regard to how the readings were picked and where did they come from? Do you know that or whatever? That's what I want to start with when we come back from our break. And then we'll talk about the first reading that we have in our structure is the Old Testament reading. Some people might say that's backwards. We'll check that out when we come back. This is At Home in Your Hymnal. Don't change that dial. We'll be back in just a minute.